Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another very special episode of Movie Madness, where we're going to look at the results from the 85th Annual Academy Awards, which just happened the night before we recorded this. I am your host, David Double D Dennis, and I'm joined with another host, who is...
Andrew Roebuck.
And together we're going to take a look at all of the results of who won what. We're going to look at who we ended up betting on. Some of our bets are a little bit different than what we mentioned in the last episode, because according to my official Oscar betting rules, you're allowed to change your bets all the way up to 8:30 when the show starts. So some of them will be a little bit different than our original predictions, just based on other shows that happened closer to when the Oscars occurred. And of course, we'll talk about the actual show itself. So to start things off, Andrew, I'm curious about what you thought, not about who won, but just about the Oscars as a production and the hosting and all the dancing and singing and all this different stuff.
Well, I find that the more times I watch the Oscars, the less I'm interested in the show and the more I just kind of care about the results. This one in particular, I didn't really find that a lot of the jokes were working for me, especially, and I mean, I thought some of it was a little bit charming. Like, I didn't mind the whole Captain Kirk thing. I thought that was alright. Mm-hmm. And overall, I didn't think Seth MacFarlane was the worst Oscar host ever, but I didn't really like his sense of humor in it, and I don't know, his attitude wasn't really for me, but over the course of the show, I did like how he progressively got more and more sarcastic and just kept going, oh, this is going on a long time, and he kind of started mm-hmm. being a little more self-aware of his own performance, so near the end, I started to come around to Seth MacFarlane more, but some of the musical stuff was alright, but other parts were a little... I liked all the Bond stuff, although there was rumors that they were going to be like a Bond reunion, and they didn't have any of the Bond people on there presenting anything.
Oh, yeah, that's disappointing. It would have been cool if they had, like... It would be hard to get Sean Connery out, I could see that, but if they had a bunch of the other guys, like Pierce Brosnan, Timothy Dalton, George Lazenby even, Roger Moore, like, have them all come out and present something cool, like, even if they did, like, the best song since Skyfall was nominated, something like that. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty sad, because, like, I know that I heard, like, stories and stuff like that, that the only one of them who didn't want to do it was actually Pierce Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan did not want to do it. Someone talked to him not too long ago, and he said he wasn't gonna appear in the Oscars as Bond, so that was kind of disappointing, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, I liked the montage, I guess. It was kind of cool little Bond montage, but I thought they could have done more, you know what I mean? Overall...
Yeah.
Overall, not a terrible show, but I don't know, I didn't like it as much as I've liked other shows in the past.
Yeah, for me, I feel like the best part actually was MacFarlane's opening. Like the little bit he did at the beginning where they had Captain Kirk show up and they talk about all the different little bits he does with, like, reenacting flight with sock puppets and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty clever. I liked MacFarlane a lot more than I thought I would. I know in the last show I was really wary about him being an Oscar host. I thought he did a decent job. Like, he seemed like he actually cared. He actually wanted to be there to some degree. Some of his jokes kind of fell flat, though, but I think part of that is the audience. The Oscar crowd is not an easy crowd to please. Like, if you say anything even remotely offensive, they're just like, oh, that's so offensive, I'm not allowed to find that funny, I'm a famous person. And it's just kind of stupid. Like, I don't know. These guys need to learn to laugh at themselves more, I think.
Well, that's why I liked all of Jennifer Lawrence's appearance on the show, because she seemed to kind of laugh at herself at multiple times during the production.
Yeah, I find George Clooney is like that too. Whenever they show him, he's kind of a little bit goofy and willing to laugh at himself, and I kind of like that about him. The thing I didn't like was after that, when they got into the actual show, they spent very little time showing the actual nominees and allowing the winners to do their speeches, and a lot of time on these really drawn out musical performances. And there was tons and tons of them. And I understand that's like the theme that they were going for this year was like music and movies. But there was just too much of that going on. A lot of it could have been cut out. Especially, I feel like Barbara Streisand is... I loved her performance, but they could have cut that back a bit. And the worst part, the part where I almost wanted to flip the channel, was when they were like, let's do three musical numbers from movies that came out within the last 10 years. Oh, and it God. Was just totally pointless. They had like a song from Chicago, a song from Les Mis, which just came out, and a song from Dreamgirls. And it was just like... we didn't need that. It would have been okay if they did the one song from Les Mis that was actually nominated, but the other two songs were just unnecessary.
Yeah, it seemed there was a lot of padding this show. I mean,
I
would have liked it. I don't know why they had to do musicals from the last 10 years. I mean, wouldn't it have been cool to see kind of like a new kind of look at some old musical songs and reminding us of like the past? That would have been really cool, I think.
Well, they kind of did that at the beginning of the show because they had McFarlane with a few other people performing like famous musical songs. And I thought they were going to do that where they were going to get people... like newer people to come up, but to perform really old songs like Somewhere Over the Rainbow or Singing in the Rain, like songs you know from movies, but with like a new spin on it, I thought would have been a cool idea instead of just here's some new songs that you heard like 6 years ago. I don't care.
Yeah, and Chicago isn't necessarily a highly loved film, I would say. A lot of people are not too happy that ended up winning Best Picture.
I've never actually seen Chicago, so no comment from my part.
Well, neither have I, but that's just what I've heard in the internet sphere.
Okay. So that pretty much wraps up our talk about the actual show, I would think. We've got a lot to go through in terms of the actual winners since there's, 24 categories, I think?
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to try and get through all of them. So let's start with the ones that we know the least about, the short films. I know for live-action short film, I haven't seen any of them. Apparently, they're supposed to be available on DVD somewhere. I have no clue how you come by this DVD. It would have been cool if you could get this on Netflix or something. I voted for Curfew for this one.
Oh.
And it ended up winning, but that's because when I do research for my Oscar voting, when it comes to the short films, I just go online and I vote for whichever one has the highest IMDb rating.
Really?
Yeah, and Curfew had the highest rating and it ended up winning.
Oh, wow, you do more research than I do. Every time I get to, like, the little films, like the short films, I always just guess a random one. So I'm pretty sure at the last minute, I ended up changing it to, I think it was Assad. I ended up changing it to Assad for some reason, and I was wrong. Not that I knew anything about Assad, it just looked like a name, and I changed it to it.
Okay. Now I should explain a little bit about my scoring system for the Oscars. Basically, the highest amount of points you can get is 200. And how it works is that all of the little awards, like sound editing, sound mixing, cinematography, all the short film awards, those are all worth 5. The bigger awards, like foreign film, animated film, the screenplay awards, music awards, those are worth 10 and negative 5 if you get them wrong. And then best picture is worth 25 or negative 10 if you get it wrong. So my final score ended up being 145 out of 200.
Oh,
which
wow.
I've gotten better in the past. it was okay. Now short film animated, I said Paper Man because it's the only one I saw, and I really enjoyed it. And I ended up being right on that one, too. So.
Yep, I was right on that one. I guess Paper Man. Again, it was also the only one I saw, but it was also like a really entertaining, really sweet little animated film. So I was like, you know what? I really like this thing. So I'm sure if I saw the rest of them, this would be what I want to win anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really loved Paper Man. Hopefully, I don't think Wreck-It Ralph is available on Blu-ray yet. Probably will be in the next couple of months. Hopefully it'll come with Paper Man on it.
I would assume so. I mean, usually don't the Pixar films come with their short films? At least I remember WALL-E came with Presto, so I imagine that the it will be included.
So I would definitely recommend checking that out to whoever gets the chance. Documentary short. I got this one wrong, actually. Again, I voted for whichever one had the highest IMDb rating, which happened to be Mondays at Racine. And it turned out that Innocente was the right one.
I also guessed Mondays at Racine, and it was also Innocente. So both of us are wrong.
Yep. All right, moving past that into the technical awards, we'll start with visual effects, one that I'm always very interested in. In the original show, I said Life of Pi. I didn't change my vote. I still said Life of Pi, and guess what? It was Life of Pi.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is what I chose, because I thought Life of Pi was really good, and a big part of it is I was guessing that it would get a lot of technical awards, and it ended up getting quite a few, so... It is, that's why I chose Life of Pi for that one, and it was right.
Yeah, Life of Pi, definitely a huge technical achievement in terms of filmmaking. A very, very gorgeous movie. Moving up to the Sound Awards, Sound Mixing and Sound Editing. Originally, I said Skyfall for both of these. I decided later that Argo was probably going to win a lot more stuff, so I changed my votes for Argo for both. Sort of to hedge my bets on Argo, and I was wrong on both counts.
Oh, okay. I got sound mixing right, because during the show I mentioned I thought Les Mis would be getting sound mixing just because of the way they did the sound in that movie. But for sound editing, which actually ended up being a tie, which like never happened.
That was one of the first big surprises of the night. Of a kind of a boring night. That was one of the only real surprises, was having two things win the same category, which is really cool.
Yeah, and I did not get either of them right, which is sad. I also guessed Life of Pi for sound editing, which, upon hindsight, I don't really know why, but that's what I end up choosing. I think both Skyfall and Zero Dark Thirty did have really great sound, so
yeah,
I'm glad they won.
Yeah, me too. I really loved Zero Dark Thirty. Had great editing and great sound. So,
oh yeah, definitely.
I'm glad it won for that award too. I'm actually okay with both of those winners, despite betting on Argo. I'm actually almost more glad that the ones who won did win. It's like you said, Les Mis had mostly on set sound, which is a lot harder to mix. So, yeah, good job there.
Woo.
Cinematography is one we'll talk about next. Now, I think we both kind of talked about how we wanted Roger Deakins to win this one.
Yeah.
It was his 11th nomination. I still bet on Life of Pi, just because I think it actually had the best cinematography out of any of these five movies. But it would have been nice, like I would have been okay with Skyfall winning, just because... I feel bad for Roger Deakins. He's now been nominated 11 times and still hasn't won.
Yeah, I know. I kind of wish that Skyfall won too, but I kind of figured that Life of Pi would keep sweeping the technical awards. So, and I end up being right. So
we both got that one. Yeah. Not a big surprise there.
Yeah, not really.
Editing, for me, I figured it would be between Zero Dark Thirty and Argo. I ended up betting on Argo because I just figured, like I said, I hedged a lot of my bets on Argo because I figured it would take a lot more awards. And it ended up taking this one, actually. Another big reason, too, is because Zero Dark Thirty, there was this whole political crap behind it, which I think is bullshit, but...
Yeah, well, it's interesting, both Zero Dark Thirty and Argo were kind of edited by the same person, William Goldenberg, if you look at the nominees. Although Zero Dark Thirty had, William Goldenberg was partnered up with Dylan Tykenor, but for Argo, he was just the sole credit as the editor, so the some two
so
of the...
So either way, he wins.
Yeah, basically, so good for him. I guessed Life of Pi on this again, and I lost.
Okay. I just figured, because both of those movies were the best edited out of these five, I think. Life of Pi was okay. Lincoln and Silver Linings Playbook seemed to be kind of thrown in there. I feel like there could have been better films. Like, there were films that had better editing than those two.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
But I'm okay with who won that one. What do we have next? I guess we'll go through the three sort of, I don't want to call them the gay awards, but they almost kind of are: the costume design, hair and makeup, and production design. Let's use the word fancy.
Fancy.
Yeah. So, production design, I actually guessed Les Mis for every single one of these.
Yeah.
It was the one film that was nominated for all three, I think. Yeah. Yeah, it was the one film that was nominated for all three, so I thought it would just sweep all these awards. It did not. The only one it ended up taking was makeup and hairstyling, which made sense because, you know, you have to make everyone look dirty, even though you could have just handed all the actors scissors and thrown dirt on their face. But that's not how it works in Hollywood.
I guess not. I mean, I also guessed a lot for Les Mis, and I was really surprised that Anna Karenina ended up winning. And because I hadn't really heard too much about that movie, like, I'd heard decent things, but I just didn't think that a film that only had, like, a few nominations would end up taking, like, a production design or something like that. Especially with, like, some heavy hitters that were also in there. Like, there was Les Mis, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and all those guys had, like, pretty great production design. So I was surprised that Anna Karenina took it.
Yeah, actually, Anna Karenina took costume design. Production design was Lincoln.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Oh.
Whoops.
Makes now, sense. Now, costume design makes sense. I figured it would be between Les Mis and Anna Karenina because costume design every single year always goes to a movie that takes place somewhere in, like, the Victorian period.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's almost harder to do like a Avengers, like trying to distinguish all these costumes on screen and having like all these different characters and having to live up to like expectations as to how these guys should look. Like, I think that stuff doesn't really get as much credit for how difficult it would be to do costumes for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't like the Oscars' sort of obsession with like the 17th to 18th century like romantic period of costumes where it's always these like fancy dresses and stuff like that.
Yeah, and considering just how many films have been made with that period in mind, I don't even think it's that hard to do anymore. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of an overdone thing. But like I said, it's a pretty safe bet every year that it's going to go to one of those types of movies.
Yeah.
Production design, I'm a little surprised that it went to Lincoln, actually. I figured Les Mis, because it was almost like a bigger movie. It took place in more locations, and over a longer period of time. So, I figured it would be between Les Mis and Life of Pi for that one, actually. So, that one kind of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised that Lincoln won, because there was some pretty cool battle scenes at the beginning of the movie, and they just had to do a lot of like little touches to like Lincoln's office and stuff like that really kind of gave the film life. So I don't know, I definitely would agree with you that I thought the other two had a better chance of winning, but I can't really fault Lincoln for getting this one.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's jump up to the music awards for original score and original song. First off, it would have been nice if all of the original songs were performed at some point in the show. They had three of them that were performed, but Pi's Lullaby and Before My Time seemed to kind of be ignored.
Well, yeah, it's kind of sad because Before My Time was something that not really as many people knew about. So it would have been nice for something like that to actually get like get played, because then, hey, this is a song I've never heard of. It's kind of interesting to see it in the Oscars.
Yeah. For original song, I bet on Skyfall.
Me too.
Just because it's Adele and she wins awards for everything. Like, I think she's probably running out of space in her house to put statues. She's got, what, like 27 Grammys and a Golden Globe and an Oscar and...
Yeah, she's got so much stuff. All she needs is like a She needs like an Emmy now and a Tony, and then she'll have it all.
Yeah, eventually it's going to happen. It's Adele. She's like an award magnet. Also, I really like the song from Skyfall. Like, it's one of my favorite James Bond songs, so I just figured more than any of these other songs, it stood the best chance of winning, so...
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I bet Skyfall, too, because I didn't think anything else even had a chance, really.
Yeah, and it's cool to actually see a James Bond movie getting some Oscar support.
Yeah, and...
That's something you see.
And this is also the only nomination for Ted. What did you think of Ted actually being in the show?
That part I didn't really like. I was expecting it. Like, I was like, yeah. Seth MacFarlane's hosting it. Of course, Ted is going to make an appearance at some point, but it just didn't seem to fit, I felt, just because Ted is really, like, vulgar humor, which works in the movie, but in the setting of the Oscars, where it's more of a family show, there might be kids watching, it just...
Well, there was one kid watching. She was nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
It was weird, though. Okay, I couldn't figure out if he was a puppet or CGI. I think he was CGI, but some of his movements at first kind of made him look like he was a puppet almost, like a marionette.
I don't know. I read online somewhere that it was a puppet, but I was convinced that it was computer generated. So, you know what? If anyone knows, feedback at thisweekingeek.net and tell us.
Yeah, because I thought that was actually interesting.
Was Ted real or not?
Was he real?
Like, I figured it might have been something like, on the actual stage, they would have had Mark Wahlberg, and then next to him, they would have just had, like, a tennis ball and a stick or something like that. And then on the screen, like, the big screen behind them, then you would see the finished version where it's actually, like, the CGI or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but... Some of his movements early on look like a puppet, so we will have to see if anyone knows in our listening audience.
Yeah, yeah.
Original score.
So, original score, yeah. Thank you for bringing me back on track. I put Life of Pi for this one, just because it seemed to have the nicest music out of all of them. And, I mean, John Williams already has, like, 50 billion Oscars, so... Life of Pi seemed like a safe bet, and I turned out to be right.
I was wrong. I guessed Lincoln. Although, it would have been funny if John Williams went up there and he was taking too long and the Jaws theme tried to play him off, because he wrote it. Yeah.
He wrote a lot of the music that they played that night. They had the E.T. theme, the Indiana Jones theme at one point. I don't think they ever played the Star Wars theme, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that. And what did you think of using the Jaws music to play people off? Did you like that, or were you kind of like, eh?
That, I like that. I thought that was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, I enjoyed that,
I thought
too.
That was a good touch. So you figured it would be John Williams. It would be kind of nice to see him get another Oscar, just because he's like in his 80s now. And the fact that he's even still working, I think, is incredible.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't, Argo, I admittedly have not seen yet, so I couldn't really talk about the score in that movie, so I wasn't too sure about that one, and this is the first time in a while where at the time of the best, like, at the time of the Oscars, I haven't seen a big, like, winner like Argo.
Yeah, you gotta get on that, man.
I know.
Well, chances are it'll be available on Blu-ray in...
It is already,
actually. A couple
actually.
Of weeks? Is it already?
Yeah, it's already out on Blu-ray and DVD. I just don't have any money to get it yet.
Oh, I figured they would have waited until it won so they could slap a little sticker on there that says, winner of 3 Academy Awards.
Yeah, no, they put it out early, because maybe they didn't think they were going to win. Who knows?
Yeah, But we'll get to talking more about that when we actually talk about Best Picture and Best Director.
Back on track.
Yep, back to where we were. Let's go to the Screenplay Awards next. I actually got both of these right.
Lucky.
Again, I figure Django Unchained just made sense because Tarantino was picking up every award for that movie in the previous award shows. Like, every time it was nominated, he kept winning. I would have liked to have seen it gone to Zero Dark Thirty or Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, I guessed Moonrise Kingdom because I thought that maybe since it was like a lesser known thing and they would kind of just, this would be the Oscar that they'd kind of give it just as a nod, going, yeah, you were good, here, take an Oscar.
No, I think their nod, they already gave it their nod in actually nominating it.
Yeah, I guess. That makes sense.
The Oscars is really mean to Wes Anderson for some reason. They always seem to ignore his films. So even him getting a nomination was nice.
Darn you, Oscars.
Yeah, there's certain people they seem to favor.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio, like, doesn't get nominated that much. And
I know, like, he's good in almost everything, but they always seem to ignore him.
And we'll talk about him in a little bit. I have a thing to talk about him, but for writing, yeah, I guessed, I got both of these categories wrong. I think for writing for adapted, I guessed Lincoln, and that was also wrong. So I didn't get either of the writing categories right.
Yeah, I had originally said Silver Linings Playbook for this one, but then I changed it to Argo. Because, again, I figured it would win more awards, and it was one I actually got right. I was hoping it would go to Silver Linings Playbook. Or even Life of Pi would have been nice, because I've never read Life of Pi, the book, but I've heard a bunch of people tell me how it's, like, unfilmable, and they took this unfilmable book and actually made it into a movie, so it would have been nice for it to get some recognition that way.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But I would have thought that would have been interesting, but I don't know. I guess they give it to Argo because it was destined to win, so they wanted to give it a little get a little lead up there.
Yeah, it would have been weird if Argo only won Best Picture.
Yeah, that's probably why they did it, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do the other three movies that aren't Best Picture, but basically the foreign film, the documentary, and the animated film. So for foreign film, 100% hands down, I knew it was going to be Amor. There was no contest from the other four films at all.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think you would agree with me there. And guess what? It was Amor. No surprise there.
Yep, no surprise at all. Because if it gets nominated for Best Picture, it's going to win Best Foreign. So
yeah. It would have been nice if it went to War Witch, the Canadian film, just because we're Canadian. But hey, we got a nomination. It was nice for some recognition. And Ben Affleck actually thanked Canada in his Best Picture speech for Argo. So
that good old Ben Affleck.
He's pretty awesome. So documentary, I said Searching for Sugar Man. It was the only one I actually saw. And it had the highest IMDb score as well, and it seemed to be the most popular of the five, and I was right on that one as well.
Yep, I also did Searching for Sugar Man, and I got it right.
It would have been nice if, when it won, it would have been nice to have seen Rodriguez, the guy who the movie is about, actually go up on stage to accept the award.
Yeah, that would have been
but
cool.
He wasn't at the award show. It would have been nice if he did a musical number, actually. Like, if he performed one of his songs.
Yeah. I don't know. That would have been cool, but unfortunately, they did not do that.
No, let's get Barbara Streisand to do another song, because
hasn't
done enough.
I thought the In Memoriam segment with her was good until she started singing, and then she started singing for a long, long, long time. I was like, okay. I thought the In Memoriam segment was just going to be over after the nice, like, instrumental music, and like in memoriam segment, sorry to get off like an off topic, but I found out a lot of people died that I completely didn't know.
Yeah, me too, actually. Ray Bradbury was probably the biggest shock for me. I don't know if I probably knew that he died and had just forgotten, but when I saw that, I was like, Ray Bradbury died? What?
Yeah, like I was the same way. And then there was a few other directors, like a little director called Chris Marker that I really like. I found out he died, and I was like, oh, dang it, I just got into his movies this year, and now I find out he's dead. Oh. That's depressing.
That sucks.
Yeah. But oh well, it was a tasteful in memoriam segment, and this year I don't think they missed anybody, because in years past they sometimes miss. Yeah, so
there's always one or two guys.
Yeah,
the only guy I can think of is I can't remember his name, but he just died about a week ago, and he's the guy who designed the original Yoda puppet.
Oh yeah, technically that'd be 2013, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but usually the in memoriam goes right up to when the awards is.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they'll put him next year in the 2014 show. I don't know.
All right, we'll have to see. Stay tuned.
So documentary we talked about, animated film. Yes. Probably the award that upset me the most. It went to Brave. I should have seen that coming. I voted for Wreck-It Ralph. I voted for Wreck-It Ralph, then I voted for Brave, and then I changed it back to Wreck-It Ralph at the last minute just before the show started, just because I figured, oh, I really want Wreck-It Ralph to win, so you know what, I'll bet on it to be nice. That was a mistake. You should never bet on something just to be nice. You should bet on what will likely win, even if it's stupid that it does win.
Yep, I bet that I thought Brave was going to win, and I was right, because I didn't think that the Academy would do anything interesting, so.
Yeah, if a Pixar film is nominated, it's probably going to win.
Yep.
To be honest, I wish it had gone really to any of the other four. I feel like Brave was actually the weakest of the five films nominated. Not that I hated Brave, I was just... Yeah, it was kind of weak. I was a little bit disappointed by it. And I really would have preferred it if it went to Wreck-It Ralph or Paranorman, especially.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. But them's the breaks when it comes to the Oscars. So.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, it's a little bit... actually, it's really predictable at this point. Like I said, costume design always goes to a 1800s movie. And animated film always goes to a Pixar movie. So, it's getting easier and easier to predict.
Yeah, exactly.
The next one...
Are we in the acting categories now, or...?
I was going to go to director first.
Makes sense, so we'll go to director.
And then do the acting ones. So, director is the one I think everyone would have voted for Ben Affleck if he was nominated.
Yeah, probably.
I originally said David O. Russell, but then I changed it to Ang Lee at the last minute. I think it was because there was a guy on the news talking about his Oscar predictions, and he said Ang Lee might win, and I was like, that actually kind of makes sense, just because of what he was able to achieve with Life of Pi. Like I said, turning this unfilmable book into a movie, and, the technical achievement that it was. So... I guessed Ang Lee. It actually was Ang Lee.
I guessed that it was going to be Spielberg, because I thought Lincoln was going to win Best Picture, and I thought they would get Best Director and then win Best Picture, but I was wrong. And there's lots of evidence to show I was wrong, but I decided to stick with it till the end.
Okay. You're stubborn but stupid. Yeah, usually most years, whoever wins Best Director also wins Best Picture.
Yeah.
It's rare that you get, like, a split like that. But I figured this year, since Argo was sweeping all the other awards, that it would probably take Best Picture, even though it wasn't even nominated for Best Director, which almost never happens. Actually, I think this might be the first time it's ever happened.
Well, yeah, especially when it hasn't been nominated at all. There's been times where it hasn't won... But yeah. It's been nominated, but this one wasn't even nominated, and I can't think of another year where that happened.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, a weird coincidence. Ang Lee won this year for Best Director, but lost Best Picture. The last time he did that was in 2005 with Brokeback Mountain, where he also won Best Director and lost Best Picture to the movie Crash. And Argo and Crash both won only three Oscars.
That is crazy.
So yeah, just weird little bit of Oscar trivia for you.
That kind of makes me feel bad for Ang Lee.
Yeah, it's like the Ang Lee curse at this point.
Dun dun dun.
He's never gonna win for Best Picture if he wins Best Director. No matter how great his movies are.
Wah, wah, wah.
Sorry, Ang Lee. Moving on to the ones people actually care about. So, you know, if you're listening and you're interested, you can fast forward to about 40 minutes into the podcast and you'll get to the good part.
Well, I'm sure this is already 40 minutes in, so they won't know to do this until it's already here.
That's the conundrum here.
Wow, wow.
I'll have to edit something at the beginning of the show telling people to do that. Nah, I won't do that. I'll just make them listen to the whole thing. Because I'm sadistic. So yeah, the best acting ones, I guessed 3 out of 4. I think I kept all these pretty much the same from what I said in our previous podcast. So for best, let's start with best supporting actress. I said Anne Hathaway for Les Mis. Just because, like, she did seem to have the biggest impression out of anyone in that movie, and she was in all the trailers and all the marketing for it, even though she wasn't in the actual movie that much.
Yeah, no, that's what I chose too, and we both ended up being right.
Yeah, and her part was super depressing, and she had to cut her hair. So if ever a girl has to either gain a bunch of weight, lose a bunch of weight, make herself look super ugly, or cut her hair for a role, there's a good chance she's probably going to win an Oscar for it.
Yep.
The Oscar loves self-mutilation.
Exactly.
So, for Best Supporting Actor, I guessed Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained. For me, it was between that and Tommy Lee Jones. There was a time for a while I thought it would probably go to Tommy Lee Jones, and then just before the show started, I was like, you know what? I think it's going to go to Christoph Waltz. I don't know why. I just felt it in my gut, and I was right, and I was happy that I was right, because he was the one I really wanted to win.
That's interesting. I wasn't necessarily mad that he won, because he did a good performance, and he is always entertaining when he gets up on the stage and does his awards like speeches.
Yeah,
but
and he's probably the best thing about that movie.
Yeah, so. Well, now here's what I think. For Django Unchained, I think that Christoph Waltz should have been replaced with Leonardo DiCaprio, and DiCaprio should have won for that, because I think he had a better performance that was more unlike DiCaprio's usual performances. But when I voted for who I thought was going to win, I had Tommy Lee Jones as Lincoln, which I changed from The Master because I kind of decided that The Master wasn't going to win. And last minute, I changed it to Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln, and I was wrong.
Still wrong, but probably closer to being right. Like, I'm sure if we saw the actual votes, Tommy Lee Jones was probably a close second. But yeah, I feel like you're probably right that they could have nominated... Actually, they really could have nominated both Christoph Waltz and Leonardo DiCaprio in the same category. I know they've done that before.
That's true. They could have done that. That wouldn't have been too bad. But I don't know who you'd take off. Maybe Alan Arkin?
Yeah, Alan Arkin was okay. But his performance didn't really blow me away or anything. I feel like DiCaprio deserved that fifth slot more than he did.
Understandable.
But I'm still glad it went to Christoph Waltz. Even though it's basically he stars in a Quentin Tarantino movie and then he wins an Oscar for it. So whatever Tarantino, because apparently he's making this like a trilogy of movies about like unlikely oppressed people becoming heroes.
Yeah.
So he did the one about the Holocaust, he did the one about slavery. I have no idea what the third one's going to be, but you can bet it's going to have Christoph Waltz in it. And it would be really funny if he was nominated for another Oscar for that same type of role, basically.
Yeah, and he won it again.
Yeah.
If he won for the entire trilogy, that would be pretty great.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. I think that would be awesome. Best Actress... This one was the one that I think surprised me the most. I was sure that Jessica Chastain pretty much had this one. I don't know why. I feel like she gave a stronger and a more powerful performance than Jennifer Lawrence did. And she's a little bit older than Jennifer Lawrence, so I feel like Lawrence still has, like, her best years ahead of her. I mean, so does Chastain. She's not old or anything, but I just felt like Chastain earned it a little bit more, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
even though I love Jennifer Lawrence, so I was okay. I was okay with really any of the five winning, but I just thought it would be Jessica Chastain. I don't know why.
I thought it would be Jessica Chastain, then I changed it to Emmanuel Riva, and it ended up being wrong at both points. I thought it would have been.
So it didn't matter.
Yeah, so it didn't matter. I thought it would have been interesting if either one of the youngest one or the oldest one won, because that kind of had a little bit more stakes to it that you thought, like, wow, this could be really cool. But Jennifer Lawrence won, but Jennifer Lawrence is, like, super cute, so anytime she's on screen, I'm like, yeah, I'm okay with you being here. And I felt so bad for her when she, like, fell on her way up, but she, like, she totally recovered from that.
She handled it really well, too, especially when everyone started giving her a standing ovation, and she's like, you're just all clapping because I fell and you feel bad. Oh. And it's true. But, yeah, she didn't make a big deal out of it, and, it wasn't really that awful that she fell. It's just... it's mostly because her dress was this giant poofy thing.
Yeah.
I don't know whose decision that was, but it looked nice up until you got to about the waist, and then it was just like, whoa. Not that I'm a fashion expert.
So, who was the best dressed at the Oscars, Dave?
I'm going to say I don't give a shit.
I would say I agree with you, but Samuel L. Jackson had an awesome suit going on. That was all red and mismatched.
It was kind of weird. It didn't go with the other four people from the Avengers, really.
Yeah, and what was that? They said it was the Avengers, but it was missing both Thor and Black Widow. Come on.
Well, they did say five of the Avengers. Like, when he was announcing them, he did say that they weren't going to all be there. So, but not everyone can make the Oscars. Sometimes people are working on movies at the time.
Yeah.
So...
but still.
Yeah, it would have been nice. But just to see the five of them reunited there was pretty cool.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. And I think that out of all of them, they had, like, some of the best best back and forth of presenters, at least.
Yeah, overall. There wasn't a lot of really great presenter moments this year, to be honest. That was probably the most memorable one, I would say.
Oh, man, one of the worst ones was Paul Rudd and Melissa McCarthy. I think Paul Rudd just never cares when he comes to these things, which which is really funny for the first few minutes, and then it just gets, like, painfully, like, when will this end? Oh, my gosh, yeah. It's still going on.
Yeah, the joke was funny for, like, 1 minute.
Yeah, and then it just
And then they just
long.
Kept going with it.
And the thing is, like, when presenters go too long, it cuts off the speech time for the people who actually win. So that kind of bums me out, because they're always rushing the people who are going to win and when they're doing their speeches. But it's like, for those people who are doing their speeches, it's like one of their short time in the limelight, especially if you're in one of the smaller categories, and you're going to be, like, overshadowed,
like, short film or something like that. It's usually like an NYU student or someone no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, and then also for the visual effects for Life of Pi, like, they got cut off pretty bad, especially when they started talking about the protest that was going on outside of the Oscars. Like, did you hear about that?
No, I don't remember that, actually.
Well,
I probably just wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, well, for the Life of Pi, the people who made Life of Pi, there was, like, a protest going on because a bunch of them lost their jobs, so they were all protesting the Oscars. And then, like, as soon as they started mentioning that in their speech, the Jaws theme just started blaring and cut them off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
not surprising.
Yeah, not surprising at all, but that was that. Anyways, back on topic.
Stupid. So, yeah, we're up to best actor at this point. I said Daniel Day-Lewis. This is another one I was about 100% sure it would go to Daniel Day-Lewis, and it did.
Yeah, there was really no way of it not being Daniel Day-Lewis. Like, I don't... what alternate reality do you think who else could have won this? Like, I don't think any other one else really had a chance.
I think second place might have been Hugh Jackman, maybe.
Maybe.
Then Bradley Cooper. But by a big margin. I mean, probably like 70 to 80% of the votes went to Daniel Day-Lewis. And then the next guy would be like 20%.
Yeah, definitely. I also like to see that it was interesting to see Daniel Day-Lewis in person just kind of doing nice little quips and jokes. And I thought that was pretty cool. Because yeah. You wouldn't really expect the guy who played Lincoln and in Daniel Plainview from There Will Be Blood like to be like a jokey, kind guy.
Who would you say had the best speech overall of the night?
Who would I say had the best? I really liked Ben Affleck's speech at the end of the night. I thought that was quite nice. Some of the other ones were pretty good. I can't really think of as many off the top of my head, though. I know who
I liked Ben Affleck. I thought Christoph Waltz's was okay. But I think probably my favorite was Daniel Day-Lewis because he handled it. I think probably because it's his third time winning. Like, he knows what he's doing at this point.
Yeah, that's very true.
So he just sort of had fun with it, but it wasn't anything really distasteful. Like, it was funny. And it wasn't, like, I hate it when it's someone like Anne Hathaway was really bad for this, where they just go up there and they just thank, like, 30 people, and you don't know who any of them are, and then they get played out and they leave. And that's their whole speech, is just trying to thank everyone. And it's like, I don't know who, like, most of these people are or care. Like, it's okay if you thank, like, the other actors, maybe mention the other people who are nominated, and then, like, briefly thank, like, I'd like to thank my whole cast and crew, and that way you're including everyone instead of naming specific names.
Yeah, but I don't know. Always happens.
These people need to learn on their... Stuff. These people need to work on making their speeches more interesting and less of just, I'd like to thank John Wallace and Norman Johnson. It's like, I don't know who these people are. They're just names to me. So, kind of stupid.
Yeah.
So that pretty much leaves us with only one award, which is Best Picture, which... originally, I thought it would be Silver Linings Playbook. Then later on in the week, I was like, you know what? It's probably everything else has been Argo so far. And all of the people who are predicting winners are predicting that it's going to be Argo. So it'll probably be Argo. So I changed it to Argo, and I was right.
Yep. I did not. I chose Lincoln, and I got it wrong.
So I think I'm the winner here.
Yeah, clearly. I did not have a good year for guessing Oscar winners, that's for sure.
Well, that's okay, because it was kind of a hard year to guess.
Yeah.
Compared to years of the past. Some years it's very, very clear who's going to win in each category. This year, not so much. And there was a few surprises here and there, especially in some of the technical awards.
Yeah.
Stuff like production design and sound editing that I just didn't see coming, so... But it's always kind of nice to see someone you don't really expect. I like it when the Oscars isn't totally boring and just everyone you expect to win.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we've pretty much talked about most of what happened in the show. So any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
Final thoughts was that it was an okay show. I mean, it wasn't really offensive to my tastes or anything, but there's been better Oscar shows in the past.
Yeah, I'll say the same thing as well. It's probably, out of like the last five shows, it's one of the better ones, I would say. Mostly because of like the opening 10 minutes was probably one of the best Oscar openings I've seen in recent history. And Seth MacFarlane did do a way better job than I would have originally given him credit for. And I actually like how he kind of made fun of himself and how he was like their last choice to host it and stuff like that. I thought was pretty funny. So overall, it was a decent show. In terms of who won, it was mostly who I expected. But a few nice surprises in there. That's about it. Yeah, it was a decent Oscars. There wasn't anything really shocking to talk about. I hope I'm not the only person who watches Jimmy Kimmel's show after the Oscars ends.
I did not.
because that's like my favorite part. He premiered the trailer for the movie 2V.
What's that?
His sequel. Last year he had a fake trailer for something called Movie the Movie. And it was just like all these different movie ideas sort of crammed together with a bunch of celebrity cameos.
Oh, wow.
And it's really funny. It's one of his like most viewed things ever. It has like 30 million views on YouTube. And so they made a sequel to it this year. It wasn't as funny as the first one, but it was still good. Probably the best part is the whole like plot, if you can call it that, of this fake movie is that there's like everything's become sexy. So there's like sexy vampires and sexy zombies and sexy werewolves, and they're like taking over America. And at the end of the movie, Jimmy Kimmel, who has two eye patches on throughout most of the trailer, decides to release the Tatum. And they open up this like giant gate, and then Channing Tatum comes out and shoots lasers out of his crotch.
Makes sense.
It was pretty amazing. So yeah, definitely, if you're done watching this show and you want something to do, go on YouTube and look up both of the movies, and they're pretty hilarious.
I will actually do that after the show.
Awesome. So with that, I guess that'll wrap things up. Just a reminder to our listeners to send us your feedback at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. Subject line, Movie Madness. I will say we do actually have about 5 feedback emails that I'm sitting on right now, but I'm waiting until we do our next episode because we'll have Scott on it, and then all 3 of us can do feedback on the feedback. So it'll be more interesting, and it'll be worth the wait to the people who did email us, and I'm sure you're listening to this, and I'm sure you know who you are, and I'm sorry that we didn't get to your feedback this week, but it's for a good reason. And yeah, basically, I'm not sure what we'll be doing next week. We still haven't really discussed that yet.
Yeah.
But we'll be getting into our normal show format. This is our last of our sort of special shows. So starting from next week and on, we'll be basically for each month, we'll try and do 1 new movie, and then we'll do 3 movies, one of which is picked by each of the hosts, of like old movies that maybe or maybe not have something to do with the new movie that we're talking about and fall into some sort of theme. So that's what you have to look forward to from the future. We're done with our early 2013 sort of look back, look forward type of thing that we were doing. So yeah, that about wraps it up for our show. So for Movie Madness on This Week in Geek, we have been
Andrew Roebuck,
and I've been David Double D Dennis, reminding you not to forget anyone in your thank you speech, or they will stab you to death. Have a good day.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face.
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? That 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
What's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Whoa, my God, whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. send us a Twitter message by at replying to at This Week in Geek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.